Men, do you ever feel like you just can't get ahead? Like you're misunderstood? Like you have no one to talk to that truly hears you?
And women, are you often frustrated, hurt, and saddened in your relationships with the men in your life?
What if there were a community of like-minded men going through the same challenges that would support, hear, and understand what you're going through?
Working together in unison to create understanding, intimacy, and strong connections. That's the Way of the Illuminated Warrior.
Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show is a forum of candid conversations for men and women about men. Heard every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Being a man today is not always easy. Until now.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show. I am your host, Waska, and with me today is, once again, my friend, Beth Perogic. How are you today, Beth?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Waska. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this at night, we still say good morning. Well, we're recording is in the morning, so yeah. Right. But it's nighttime somewhere, so...
That's true. Going forward, I'll just say hello to everybody. How's that?
It's all good. You know, I'm very literal, and I just say whatever I'm thinking. So it's all good. Yeah. So today's topic is going to be on friendship. So I want to dedicate this show to a dear friend who just recently passed. You may know her. Some of the listeners may know who she is or was. Her name is Joanne Shenandoah. She was a Native American artist of music. She wrote, she composed, she won Grammy Awards. I think she had 18 albums out, played at the White House, played for five different inaugural presidential elections, at Carnegie Hall. I remember documenting her there, Madison Square Garden, played for the Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela. Those are her credentials, but she was more so such a dear-hearted, beautiful woman who fought for children's rights as far as the kids who didn't have a voice that were suffering from trafficking and violence and all that type of horrific activities. She was a spokesperson for the Oneida people, which is where she's from, the Six Nation Iroquois up in New York, to keep their beautiful way of life and their sovereignty. And she had the voice of an angel. So her music and her lyrics, she just really, really wonderful person. So I want to dedicate that to my friend, Joanne Shenandoah. May she rest in peace and have a swift, beautiful journey back to Creator.
Yes. Bless her. Bless her. Waska, sounds like she was a treasured soul whilst on planet Earth. Definitely contributed beautifully. God bless her heart and her family. Let's wholeheartedly dedicate this to her.
That's all right. She's smiling down knowing that right now. Yeah.
I'm sure. And, you know, I'm not just to put a really nice slant on this, because of technology, the way it is, her beautiful music and spirit will live on forever. We'll be able to YouTube her or follow in any of the things that she did forever. That's so brilliant. So brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I highly recommend, you know, checking her out on YouTube is Joanne Shenandoah. Incredible talent and beautiful person. So, yeah.
Very good.
So,
very good.
Thank you, Joanne, for inspiring our dedication and our topic of friendship today. So why don't we start off with, I'd like to know what your definition of friendship is, because I do believe it varies from person to person.
Oh, most definitely. And in some respects, it's hard to define. I kind of sort of knew you were going to ask me that question. So as I was having my morning coffee, I'm thinking, what does friendship mean to me? Because friends are chosen, they're not like family, which, you know, that's a whole other episode. Because friends are chosen, we have opportunities to exercise our free will and choice around them. And what I'm looking for in a friend always is some form of unconditional acceptance. Not 100%. They don't have to like everything about Beth. They don't have to agree with everything about Beth. I don't mean it like that. But that there's a space for me with my friends to freely express. And it's a reciprocal thing. so that they can freely express back to me. Again, even if we disagree on something, I'm okay with disagreeing on something, but at least afford me the opportunity and the respect, I guess, to listen, and I will do the same for you. That's to me the basic foundation of a friendship. And just for the record, my dog is here as always. So we're gonna tell Ella to be quiet. We're on.
Hey, four-legged friends are always welcome.
Yeah, she's probably my best friend. So that's something to be said for that. Oh, God. Anyway, how about you, Waska? What can you add or delete from that definition for me?
Interesting that your little furry friend is chiming in, because I joke around, but to a degree, I'm serious that I love dogs better than people sometimes. You know, so again, it's joking, but it's also true in the sense that I'm an animal person, but dogs especially. I've had some really wonderful relationships growing up and even recently with dogs, and they are unconditional. I mean, every time you come in the house, they're happy to see you. Even if you're in a bad mood and you don't treat them the way they would like to be treated, they still will give you the attention and the affection and the love, whereas people don't necessarily do that. And it reminds me of a story. I did a PBS documentary with and on Deepak Chopra. So He tells this story that a man has a friend come to visit, and the visiting friend did not really like dogs, but his dog was very, very attentive and, you know, happy and peppy and bursting with love like most dogs are, and just kept, you know, going around to the guy, visiting man, and the man was really annoyed by him, kept shooing him away, and eventually just kicked the dog and hurt the dog. And, you know, the dog got the message, stayed away. Years later, the friend came to visit again, and the dog remembered, because just like elephants, they have incredible senses and memories. So the dog remembered that this man, you know, hurt him and kicked him, was a little cautious, but also still went up to him. It's a little bit, you know, more humbly, and still wanted to lick him and say hello and greet him and love him up and stuff. And the point that Deepak was making was that, you know, even after all this time, you know, the dog was still willing and innately there as a friend and, you know, beautiful sentient being, whereas a lot of human beings would remember that situation also if they were in the situation where they were kicked or not treated the way they wanted to be, and they would be thinking about revenge and anger and, you know, hate and all those negative qualities that human being two-legged have. So that's another reason why I just love four-legged so much. Yes.
That's a beautiful story. And I'm thinking, like, this is probably not my finest moment, but I'd be thinking, I don't know that I would want a friend who didn't like my dog.
Good point. Right? Hey, that's a great point. I mean, I don't like to use that as a benchmark, but to a degree, I think it is a tell if somebody doesn't like animals. I'm not going to, you know, hold them, you know, and judge them on that solely because maybe they had a situation where when they were younger and they got bit or they were in fear or something. So I get that. But I am always weary of people who don't like dogs and who smoke cigarettes and blow it in my face. Yeah.
I've noticed too with my little Westie here, Ella, she barks differently almost when the doorbell rings. Like, she'll know whether it's an Amazon driver, delivery person, or a friend, and boy, her bark, and I pay attention. She's 10 years of age, and she's like my little baby, so I pay attention to her bark, and she knows a stranger when she feels it, and that's behind a door, you know, like our front door. There's a fair bit of distance, and she's spot on all the time. She's never bet anybody or been aggressive with anybody, but she does bark differently. She knows. It's very cool.
She knows you're listening to her, right? We're talking about her right now. She's listening attentively. Yes. Well, they say man's and also I think woman's best friend, because they really are such great friends. Yeah. And their senses are just incredible. That's why they use them for, you know, police dogs. Their senses, I mean, they could smell things from miles away.
Yeah.
They're highly intuitive. So there's so many things about, you know, those four-leggeds we could take lessons from and learn from and benefit from. So yeah, we should all be friends like dogs. right?
I agree.
But with one caveat, let's not go around sniffing each other's butts, okay?
True, that, I agree. Let's tick that box and say that's not going to happen.
We'll leave that out. But yeah, like friendship. I have a lot of friends growing up, and I associate them as friends. And as I got older, I became more discerning. And I think the definition of friendship, I don't know if it changed for me, but I realized that as a person who really never liked to ask anybody for anything, it's just, you know, just the way I grew up. I don't like to owe anybody anything. I don't want to ask for favors. And growing into my spiritual self, I realized, hey, it's okay and actually healthy to accept things from people and to ask for help. And I started doing that, and I realized, like, wow, even what I consider to be like a simple favor from a quote unquote friend, they're not willing to help me out here. And it started to open up some new ways of thinking, like, wow, what actually is a friend? So a lot of the people I considered friends along the way, because I did become more discerning, I actually kind of cut ties with them because I realized they really weren't supporting me in my personal growth journey, and were more of like what we call energy vampires. And I believe it is okay and actually healthy to eliminate people. You were alluding to this also on a previous show we were talking about, that it's okay to not keep those kind of energies in our inner circle. And I think that is a healthy way of being. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, healthy for sure, and difficult to do when the rubber hits the road, to be honest. Well, and I can only speak for myself. Some friends who I've had to release for the same reasons that you were just expressing, I really had to sit with myself and say, okay, Beth, is this really what you want to do? Because I feel guilty. To be quite honest, and it takes a while for me to get over that, because you're not, I was raised never to hurt someone on purpose.
And so I was going to ask you why you felt that way. So
yeah, in my head,
from the past. Yeah.
In my head, this other person thinks that we've got a cool relationship. We've got a cool friendship. And in my heart and in my head, I'm going, nah, this is not the kind of relationship I want to have. Now what do I do with you? Like, this is my own internal talk. Now what the hell do I do with you? Do I just ignore all the texts or the emails or the calls? And you run the risk of bumping into them someday somewhere and going, oh my God, this is awful. Like, the whole scenario goes through my head when I'm doing that, until I reach that point inside me with me. Realize that I have an obligation to myself to set those boundaries. So I go into little girl Beth, where you're never meant to hurt anybody on purpose. And then I remind myself, well, you know what, Beth, you're not 5 and 6 and 7. You're a grown badass woman, and you can make those decisions for yourself and act accordingly and set those boundaries. Then my next step is, once I discern that, I decide, yes, that's in fact what I'm going to do, is have a more of an arm's length relationship with this person. How do I best, from my best self, release that person? And that bummed me up for a couple of years too, because then I thought, do I just text them and say not interested? Do I just ignore them? Ignoring didn't seem like a good thing for me. It didn't seem like it was genuine. And I want to be in integrity.
We'll be right back after this.
Do you sometimes feel down, lost, or lonely? Are your finances feeling sluggish? Can your relationships use a healthy tune-up? Don't fear, bro. Help is here. Experience the benefits of connecting with other men who are going through similar challenges. Be supported in our safe, sacred, and inspiring monthly telecircle with the Brotherhood of the Illuminated Warriors. Connect with Waska for one-on-one mentoring with the first session completely free. What have you got to lose? Check out illuminatedwarrior.com or send an email to waska@illuminatedwarrior.com. You're invited to step up your game and join us. You'll be glad you did.
In boundaries, especially healthy boundaries, it really honors us, but I don't think it really is doing them any service to keep a relationship going that's really not genuine or authentic. Mm-hmm. And what I found, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings either, just energetically, once I started pulling back and just being more real in my communications, and that doesn't mean I said, well, I don't want to be friends with you, or you annoy me, or you talk too much, or you don't listen, or any of that kind of stuff. But I was holding that intention, like, I want what's best for you, but I also don't want to give all of my time so you could just ramble on for an hour and not hear a word that I'm saying, or just sucking my energy, or just it's all about you and your needs. And I'm willing to, you know, listen and be there for somebody else. But when it's only one-sided, I just decided that it's not, you know, that reciprocity is not there. It's not a healthy relationship. And it's really just kind of feeding a codependent relationship with whoever that person is, if I'm allowing that to happen. So energetically, I would just wish them well. I did like limit or cut down my communication. And even in the way I would answer texts and all, it wasn't curt, but it was more direct, answering their questions. And I would even say, which was the truth, hey, listen, you know, nice catching up with you now. I have such and such going on right now, and, you know, be well. And that would be it. And over time, I think that energy and intention kind of played the role it was supposed to. And those relationships either dropped off or just became less active in that energy grabbing type of relationship. So
very cool. Very cool. And if you broke it off via text, I've done this. So this is why I'm asking you if this has been your experience as well. So you text them saying, I'm really, you know, I've got a lot of things on the go right now, be well. And then you press enter and then you go, oh. but then, again, a very significant struggle for me internally because of my upbringing. Mm. So I have to bring myself to adult Beth status and say, this is what strong, healthy, powerful, empowered adults do, is they set boundaries. And then what I found helpful too, Oscar, is that I would envision myself at yet another lunch with this person, and I'd be like a deer in the headlights. They're rambling on and on and on and on. I'm wondering minute to minute, is anybody going to ask me about me, or are we just going to sit here for an hour and talk about you? And then driving home afterwards thinking, well, there's an hour and a half out of my life I can't get back. And I didn't get anything from it. And I, you know, desperately sometimes trying to glean something from the conversation, and it was flat. And that's when I started to realize these flat, I call them lunches because I lunch with my girlfriends a fair bit. These flat lunches were just not serving me. And then I started to think of some of my life empowering friends, the fulfilling friends. I'm like, shoot, I'd rather have sat for an hour and a half with that one. Because then I could have, you know, I'd be driving home full. I'd be driving home feeling excited, feeling like I'd engaged with somebody that I really wanted to engage with. So it was a little bit of a mind bend for a little bit. But once I kind of got into the flow of thinking, this is how I could feel driving home, or this is how I could feel driving home. So I get to choose. I get to choose.
Right? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
thinking. I like the fact that you bring energy into it, though. So it's not just a verbal thing. It's an actual heartfelt thing. We do wish them well. I wish everybody well, but this not jiving with what I need in a friend.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and that makes sense. And like you said, we get to hold space for people and also set those boundaries that work for us. And we're kind of teaching them whether they want to take on that lesson or not, like what good communication is. So I was thinking about situations that you're describing, like being in that conversation where it's just one-sided and it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. So what I'll do is, because I know they want to talk, I know they want to get out, whatever what's going on in there, I'll ask them a question that I could relate to and that I'd like to talk about also, but I know is something that they are interested in. And so I would say, like, hey, Beth, you know, I heard that you just started a new business making, you know, frozen popsicles, and I love that. I really want to hear more about it, and I've got a story to share about that as well. So please, you know. So at some point, I don't like to interrupt or interject, but if they're going on for an hour and a half about their new business, I will be like, "Oh my God, that sounds so," and then I'll just bust in. So at least it gives me a foray because I've already set it up. Like, I want to hear what you have to say, which I do, but within a parameter that I'm not getting more gray hairs listening to you, you know?
Yeah. I love that. That's a keeper for me, Wes, because I really, really like that idea. You are interested in the popsicle business, and therefore, but we're not going to spend the whole hour talking about your popsicle business and how great it is, because I've got a story to tell around that too. That's awesome. Worth listening to this podcast for.
There you go. Well, if I could share another story that just happened recently. So a good friend of mine was here visiting from Long Island, and he's one of my best friends. He accepts me, I believe, for who I am. I accept him for who he is. He's not a person that listens. I've told him the same stories, facts, situations over and over and over again, and he just doesn't get it. So I told him, and I knew this was going to be tough for him to hear. This specific situation is we go skiing on a ski trip every year, and there's usually around six of us, and like one or two people get a single room. Now, I don't care if I'm in the single room just because, I mean, look, everybody wants their own space, but I can't sleep very well. Before we went on air, I was saying, slept like horribly last night. I have supersonic hearing, even with earplugs or a sound machine. I hear noises. I don't sleep well. So I don't want to be on a ski trip exhausted where I can't ski and it could be dangerous because I haven't slept because I'm in a room where somebody who's snoring, and most guys do snore. So I would like my own room just because I need to sleep. So drawn straws. I'm cool with that. I'll go where the chips lie. So I brought this up and he's like, "I never knew that." I'm like, "Dave, how many years have we been skiing together, or decades? Don't you remember we're sleeping in the same room and I find static on the radio and I crank it so loud? You're like, what are you doing, man?" And I tell you, I can't sleep. I need white noise because you're snoring. I mean, does that even sound familiar? He's like, "I don't know. I don't remember." So point being is I've told him these things so many times. So I shared with him. I said, "Listen, bro, this is really important to me. I'm not bringing it up because I'm a little whiner. I'm bringing it up because this is an issue for me that's really important. And as your dear friend, if you came to me with something like this, I would never put it on the back burner or ignore it or say, I don't know, I don't care. Like, I want the single room just because." So it was a little hard for him to hear. I let him know. I'm like, "You really hurt my feelings that it doesn't seem like you care enough to remember something I'm telling you over and over and over again that's important to me." So he heard me. We'll see if he remembers when we go skiing in another month or so ago. And he apologized. He's like, "Wow, I didn't know." I'm like, "Okay, well, you know now after the 30th time or whatever." But, you know, that was an example for me that wasn't easy for me to say something I knew was going to be hard for him to hear. But also, I've said it so many times, and if I want to maintain this friendship in integrity and in authenticity, I need to bring it to him and say it the softest way I can. But he needed to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not a cutesy little topic. That's something it's vital to your health and to your enjoyment of the trip, and hence the enjoyment of your friendship, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a really great book. The author's name escapes me. Something about crucial conversations, how to have a crucial conversation. And when I first read that book, they talked about things like that, posturing, positioning, the intention is key, of course, but the communication of it is key. You don't walk up to this guy and say, "You're a complete idiot. Don't you understand? I can't sleep."
You may write
a little bit of a joke about it, kind of thing, and then that's how we got the message.
Yeah. Well, he knew because I was very serious about it. I was upset about it. And anybody that knows me, I do use levity and humor a lot. So he knew I was not, you know, using humor at all. I was very upset about it. And you make a very good point about posturing and just the way you approach it. Like lawyers will know, like if you're sitting directly across from somebody, it's more confrontational than sitting off to the side or on an angle. Same thing if you cross your arms, what does that say as averse to being, you know, open and open-hearted, the tone of your voice, if your eye contact is there. So all those things definitely make a difference in good communication to begin with, but also connecting with somebody and hopefully having that, you know, reciprocity and mutual understanding and connection and empathy, you know, when you're communicating.
Yeah. And I would strongly suggest, for myself included, that those kinds of conversations can't be had via text. They have to be verbalized, because the intonation in the voice and the intention comes through so much stronger and more appropriately when you're actually talking face to face.
Yes, absolutely. So we had this conversation in the car, and I told him, like, if you don't start hearing me, I'm going to crash. No, I didn't say that. But it was in the car. So we were in person, and, you know, yeah.
Very good. Very good. I think sometimes too, when I'm not just thinking about friendships, even when I'm having crucial conversations with my son or my daughter or my husband, I let them know that this, what I'm going to say, is coming from a very, very good place. And it's my intention to simply express myself, let you know how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. And here we go. And it helps. It just helps them understand that you're not coming in lambasting them. You're not coming in with both barrels ready to tell them this guy he's a goofball because he doesn't remember that you have insomnia. It's not the point, right? Yeah. I have a story to tell about one of my very best friends. But she has a tendency, or had until I had a crucial conversation with her. She would ask me something about me, and I would start to talk about myself. And then, like, for instance, I'd say something like, oh, I made this really cool scrambled egg recipe for breakfast this morning. It was really, really cool. And instead of asking me what it was, or what, she'd say, oh, I made scrambled eggs too. And then the next thing you know, we're talking about her again. So over time, she's been my friend for 30 years. Over time, I thought, you know what, I'm not putting up with that crap anymore. So probably it took a long time. It's probably only 5 years ago. Every time she would bring the conversation back to herself, I started to say, oh, sorry, I thought I was talking about me. Are we talking about you again? And I would chuckle. And she finally caught on. I said it like 5 or 6 times in one single conversation. And she said, do I do that? And I said, oh my God, do you do that? I said, and I used the scrambled egg recipe example. She said, Beth, honest to God, I don't even, like, that's not even where my head goes. I'm just thinking we're still having open conversation. She cried. She was very upset. But I said, I'm not that upset. I'm expressing now, and I'm teasing you about it so that we can go forward without it. She said she made me promise that day that every time she does that, I'm to say to her, I think we were talking about me, but now we're talking about you again. And over time it has stopped, because it, you know, for the first probably year after I confronted her with that, I probably said it 6 times in a conversation, and quiet. So I jokingly got around it, but she was devastated to know that she was doing that. And here I was probably already 20 years in being all frustrated with it. I could have, you know, nip that in the bud, but it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, and those kind of situations are not easy to do, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to bring up things that are going to cause conflict, but yet to let it keep going and festering is not healthy, really, for anybody. No. And really, kudos to both of you for bringing it to her attention, and her for really being open to hearing you and realizing, like, wow, I'm upsetting my friend here, and, you know, what can I do to change that? So that's a beautiful story, because really, a lot of times, how you were saying, even, like, how long does it go on? How many days, decades, you know, does it go on? Because we don't bring it to someone's attention, and then it's their choice if they want to look at it. And I always look at my father would say, you know, look at your own hoika, which means in Yiddish means hump, you know, look at your own hump before you judge somebody else. Well, and I do my best not to be judgmental, which I think, you know, it's easy to say, well, I'm being discerning. I think we all judge to a degree. So I check myself, but also life is too short. I do believe in communicating effectively as I can and bringing those things to light. And then it's the other person's choice whether they want to hear it and do something about it, knowing whether they agree with it or not, like you were saying, that, hey, listen, this is my friend. This is somebody I care about. It's hurting their feelings. You know, what kind of friend am I going to be here? Is it just all about me? Like, hey, too bad. This is the way I communicate. Or is it like, wow, I want to do something for my friend, whether that resonates with me and the way I am or not. But I'm going to try something at least and do something that could enhance the friendship. So I think it's great that you communicated that.
Well, thank you. And I was just, as I'm thinking about her, it has come up over the years too, when either one of us are having a particularly challenging time around something, that we start the conversation by saying, either one of us, she might say to me, Beth, I'm really upset. My mom's in the hospital again. I really need to lend your ear. Can this conversation not be about you? She needed the 100%. Let's set the stage. Yeah. Let's say this is a challenging time. This is not going to be about me. This is going to be about you. So that is certainly helpful as well. Setting the stage at the beginning of the conversation. It wasn't like banter. She's having a tough time. Of course, I'm going to sit here and listen. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, that's clear communication.
I have a question for you about friendships. Do you believe that you have different, I call them baskets of friends, different baskets of friends, or do you have all your friends in one great big huge basket?
Interesting. I've thought about that myself, and I think at one point it was just this huge, you know, party of people. And again, as I became more discerning of what was important to me, I did start throwing them into baskets. And now, I like to say in my infinite wisdom, I think it's more about me, I don't want to say changing, but to a degree evolving who I am to be more tolerant, because I do find the times that I've gotten less patience for the same thing over and over again, like I was describing before, where I've shared the same story of something that's important to me. I became a little less tolerant about that. So what I do with that is I will voice my feelings about it. And sometimes it's not met with the same sincerity or seriousness. And then I know, okay, well, maybe this person's got to go get out of the basket altogether, you know, which really hasn't happened lately. Another thing that happened recently, when I was back visiting New York, a very dear friend of mine, I do my best to, what I would say, communicate with people on what I feel is their level. And that's not, you know, a demeaning thing at all, but knowing who they are, how they communicate, how they listen, how they speak to me and others, I do my best to relate that way. So I might be really serious with somebody. I might just use humor or sarcasm with somebody else or whatever it is. So a good buddy of mine, he was doing me a favor, and I asked him, it was at no cost or peril to him, but nevertheless, he was doing me a favor. I asked him if he could do me a favor one more time, which, you know, I said, I will pay for it. Won't be any problem. He chose not to, which is totally cool. His choice. But what bothered me was that it was kind of like that niggling. We kept going back and forth with each other about it. Like, hey, what's your problem? What's your problem? And, you know, I finally said to him, I said, you know what? Yes, I am upset about it a little bit, because I was being judgmental, because I would do that for you. So it's not fair for me to say, well, you should do that for me. But what was really more impactful for me, that I told him, it's not that I'm mad at you or angry or, you should have done this or shouldn't have done that. I'm hurt. I'm hurt at the way you responded to me, making fun about it and calling me this and that. I would do that for you. So I just assumed, if I'm asking you as a good friend, can you do this for me? And I'm even offering to pay for it. I just assumed you would do it for me. So no hard feelings there. I just want you to know that I was hurt by the way you reacted to the way you made the decision and the way we were bantering back and forth. So he's still in the good basket, in the the big basket. But I guess the point here is that for me, I need to feel good about me, but also not be putting any of my friends down in the process. So to make myself feel better about me, you know. So in doing that, I find that it's just really important to be authentic and genuine in my communications. And as I've said before, when I work with the guys, when we're working on the throat chakra, to speak your truth with compassion. So I do my best to do that and make sure that I'm taking other people's feelings into consideration. And sometimes it works out a win-win. Sometimes it works out, you know, not the way we both want it, and any combination thereof. But to keep the energy in a positive way and not, you know, hold grudges or negative feelings about anybody.
Yeah. I love you. Almost every time you and I chat, you bring up that speaking your truth with compassion. And it's super important. We should be saying it 100 times every time you and I do some work together. And isn't it interesting that you know when you didn't? Like, you know, yes. When you didn't voice something with compassion, you're like, oh, shoot, that was not good. That was not good. And then you have free will and choice around that too. Do I go back for, you know, round two, so to speak, and say, listen, friend, this was, that was not cool, what I just said, how I just treated you. And I'm sorry. And you have to apologize. And that's a big freaking thing to swallow, right? The I'm sorry. Ugh.
I love that you brought that up, though, because how many times does that happen both ways for ourselves and the other person, that you know that you made a faux pas, they know, but nobody brings it back to the table and apologizes or acknowledges, like you're saying. So that is really a very important point, because you've heard me say before, emotions buried alive never die. So, you know, when our feelings get hurt or their feelings get hurt, it's in there, it's down there. It's an engram that comes up and gets triggered a week, a month, a year, 10 years later. So it's a great point that you're making, that it takes integrity and grace to come back and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, you know, I didn't feel how you might have felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, this is Waska. Listen, if you're hearing my voice, there are no coincidences. Are you ready to get unblocked and take the next step forward, whether it's with relationship issues, finances, or just moving into the next phase to elevate yourself? Listen, bros, this is what I do. I'm here for you. Drop me an email at Waska, that's WASKA, at illuminatedwarrior.com. We will work on this together and take you to the next step. I promise you'll be glad you did.
I have a friend who, we are a good 10, 12, 15 years friends. She started to behave in ways that were making me uncomfortable in public situations, saying the inappropriate things, not to me, we'd be in public situations and she'd say something or do something and I'd go, no. And this exacerbated, this got worse and worse and worse. So I released that friendship. She knew why I released that friendship. But about 5 years ago, she contacts me again and says that she's changed, that she's done a ton of work on herself. She realizes why she was doing that. And would I be open to go and have a coffee with her? And first of all, I was surprised to hear from her. Secondarily, honest to God, Waska, my head and my heart went right back into those situations where I was going, oh, no. Then, you know, a minute into it, when I'm contemplating her and putting her face in my mind's eye, and I'm like, okay, do you really feel like doing this? Is it something you'd like to spend some time and energy doing? And after all, it's only a coffee, so, you know, no big deal. And she was basically asking for forgiveness. Mm. So I figured that's what she was after. She just wanted to reach out. So I did end up going to have coffee with her. She cried, explained a lot of what was going on in her life at the time. She didn't express it to me or my other friends. So we were all kind of in those same embarrassing situations. But she explained it. I so admired her courage and her transparency and her vulnerability to me. I grabbed her by the hands across the coffee shop table. And I said, I admire that. I admire that about you. Well done. Well done. And she said, can you forgive me? I said, easy, done. Easy, easy. And we've been better friends ever since. We never jumped right back into all that, but better friends. I really admired her for that, because I thought she was just going to go down a slippery slope and be a goofball the rest of her life. But she didn't. She didn't. Yeah. And I don't know that maybe my reaction to that wasn't an impetus for her. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that one day. But has that ever happened to you, where you had a friend you kind of gave up and then they came back into the basket?
Well, interesting story, which, that feels like an evolution story to me, what you just shared. So you first got that feeling that thrust you back into the way your relationship was before, which is what I was just talking about. Like it's what's called an engram. So something that was not pleasant, it could be a trauma, it could be a pain, or just something that's not pleasant that happens to us. This energetic little switch gets imprinted on us, and it could be any amount of time later. A lot of times it's decades later. Something triggers that, and it could be something we're just not even conscious of. In this case, you know, just the fact that she came back into your life, it made you conscious. So you flash back to the feelings of what it was before, which is not being in the moment. It's not being present. So in this situation, you were feeling like, oh, this is the way she is, and I don't want to be around that. But kudos to you, because you had the compassion to meet her courage and get together and give her that opportunity to speak what her truth and to, you know, bring forgiveness into the mix. So excellent. I love it. So I have had situations like that. And I think a lot of times this sounds weird, but when I think about people who have done like really horrific, horrible things, like even as bad as murder or rape or abusing kids, the most horrendous things you could imagine, and I certainly don't condone any of that, I've always wondered, like, what drives a person to do these things? And I've read and seen documentaries about people who have done those types of things. And very often they've had some serious traumatic experiences in their life. Their parents beat them, whatever it was. But it made more sense to me. Okay, this is why this person is doing this horrendous thing. Again, it's not, I don't condone it. It's not acceptable. It's not okay. But it made sense to me that this person's suffering. This person is not, they're not happy about being abusive to somebody else. And it just created more compassion and empathy for me and made it easier going forward. Like, okay, hey, you know, don't be judgmental. I mean, we are, I am. But after that initial judgment, just to really have that compassion and empathy and meet somebody where they are right now. So I have gotten together with people that I haven't seen in a long time or similar situation, and meeting them as okay, we're here right now. I'm not judging you from previous or past experiences with you. And, you know, hopefully you have evolved, as you're saying or expressing that you have, and we'll go from here. So I think that's important, to meet people where they are in the present moment and not hold the past, those energies that were uncomfortable for us, over their heads.
Yeah, and that, excellent point, because I wouldn't want that for me.
Yes.
You know, if I had done some personal growth work, some evolution work, and was feeling poorly about the way I used to behave in a relationship, I would sure as hell hope that that person with an open heart would listen to me. And and nothing has to go from there if we choose not to, or that person chooses not to. So I find that such a helpful tool, is to bring everything back to myself. What would I want for myself if I was in that situation? And I have to give it to that person.
WWBD, what would Beth do?
Yeah. What would Beth do? That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And this brings up another point. This is not friendship specific, but it's related. I live in a city here in Canada that has we have a really big problem with homelessness and drug addiction and things like that. And as do a lot of cities, but this just happens to be the example. And I was listening and admired the work of a physician here up in Vancouver, whose name is Gabor Maté.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, are you familiar with his work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wisdom of Trauma, yeah.
Yeah, so the childhood traumas and how they manifest. So I've done some work with him. But one of the things, he's taught me a bajillion things, but one of the things is when I come across a homeless person and they will they will literally walk up to your car window and knock on the window and ask for money or something like that, is to always look that person in the eye. Because you may be, this is the friendship part, you may be the only friend, and you're not really their friend, but you may be your that the only friend that's going to look them in the eye that day. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. So I always carry around in my car granola bars and apples and stuff like that. And sometimes I feel like giving them money too. It depends, whatever. But I always look them in the eye and I always tell them to have a nice day and think I may be the only person that's going to speak to them in, with kindness today. And I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of chips because I do that. He just taught me that you don't know where these people have come from, what their traumas and dramas are all about. And easy for me to say, why don't you just stop doing drugs? Why don't you just get a job and get an apartment? Like, what a silly thing for someone like me to say. We have no idea.
It's natural.
Yeah.
I think that's a natural response. Yeah. He's done some amazing work. So if any of the audience has not checked out the movie, The Wisdom of Trauma, I think it brings a lot of light into how we really are a society of walking traumatized people, you know? Yeah. And I think if we look at that in our interactions with people, whether they're homeless or anyone else, I think it gives a good perspective of kind of what we're talking about. Like, hey, let's just, you know, not be judgmental because we don't know where this person's been walking, you know, until you walk in somebody else's shoes. And we often just don't, you know, so we never really know what anybody else's story is. And getting back to what you were just saying previously, it's the golden rule, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, that's preached and proselytized so much, but how often do we actually do that? If we could just stop and say, hey, is this the way I want to be treated? Let me treat this person the way I want to be treated. Because just like you were saying also, how do we never know. We could wind up on the street, God forbid, but we could be that person. And to have that compassion, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got another question. All these great questions keep coming up. Unless you want to talk about something else.
That's okay.
Here's another example from my life. And then I want your opinion or see if it's ever happened to you. Because I think all these life experiences that you and I are not what we would call spring chickens any longer. We've had.
Thanks, Beth.
I'll speak for myself.
It's all good.
But we've had a lot of life experiences between the two of us, and that's the value of these kinds of interactions that you and I are having. We're sharing. Someone's going to get something from this, hopefully. I would have more, it sounds like different than you, more baskets of friends. There are certain friends who I just don't put in the baskets together. There's certain groups of people that are here and groups that are here, and some that are friends but are kind of business associates, so they don't go into the basket of my friend of 30 years, right? That kind of thing. And I will not mix the baskets. Waska, I won't do it. It's almost like I don't behave differently. I'm pretty much always myself, but there's a different dynamic in this basket than there is in this basket than there is in this basket. And putting a friend of 30 years, that's a lot of years, in a basket with a group of friends that I'm getting close to over the last 5 years is hard. I find.
What do you think would happen? Do you have fears around that? What do you think would happen?
Yeah, I think, why did I open up this can of worms? I got to answer your question. I think it's because I've been in situations where old friends are mixing with new friends and the old friend just wants to talk all about the old friend experiences.
Yeah.
I remember the time we did this because I've known you for 30 years. I remember the time we did that. Remember the time we went to that movie? Remember? And the new friend is going, I don't have that 30 year experience, so I'm uncomfortable. So in some respects, I guess I'm trying to save both parts. And in fairness, if I mix them all together, everybody could get along great. I'm just kind of controlling and manipulating the whole thing. That's what I think is going to happen. How's that for an analysis?
Oh, I've been there. I totally feel that because I have very different friends. Growing up as Perry Wayne Finkelstein and then being gifted my spiritual name, and not just the name, but the energy of who Waska Wabus is. I still to this day have a lot of friends who just it doesn't even intersect. So not that long ago, because I was like kind of confused, like, oh, when do I say introduce myself as Waska? When do I introduce myself as Perry? My professional world, the television production world, always Perry, you know, because I usually get an interesting response, Waska, that's, you know, or Wasco or whatever. They can't even say it, or what does that mean? Or but I decided, like, you know what, I resonate more with the energy and the meaning of who Waska is, that I just introduce myself all the time, no matter what it is, whether it's in business, whether it's pleasure, whatever. And even my old friends, even though there's some resistance to that because they don't either understand it, haven't asked me what it meant, or just they want to call me Perry, which I'm totally cool with because I still am Perry. I've opened it up. It took some courage, but like I just go with Waska now. So I put all of that into the basket and I let people decide where they want to go with it, you know. And to your point, I've had that before. My old friends, which very often part of the commonality and the connection today is because we have that those experiences from way back when. But honestly, I love that. I love to reminisce, but I want to live in the moment. I want new experiences. So putting together new friends and old friends, I think it's a great opportunity to, if need be, interject and be like, hey, you know, how about this? That's something that brings everybody into the present, that we don't have to just live in those memories. Hey, remember when, which is fine, has its place, but I think it's more important to create new memories and connect people in a, you know, in a more updated, in the moment way.
Right. Well, I'll keep you guys posted because I just may over the course of a little bit of time start to interject these two baskets into each other's lives. But I was thinking about you and your buddies that go on these ski trips. And does anybody? Well, you've been doing that for a long time, right?
A lot of headbutting. It's extremely challenging, even for an awakened man like myself.
And do you, is anybody of the group, how many guys are there? Were six or seven or something?
There's
like
usually
that?
Between 6 and 11, but the last few years it's most six, and this year it'll be six again.
Okay. Does anybody ever say, can I bring my cousin along, or can I bring my coworker along and introduce them to the group? Does that happen?
Well, we've had it. Two guys want to come on the trip, and there's just like not a lot. There's not a lot of sleeping opportunities. There is a couch, but it's in the common area. And also, you know, I've already described my sleep situation, but honestly, the condo is good for six people. We know other people who are out, will be in Colorado that come and visit. Sometimes one will stay over. So it's more comfortable with just the six. We don't want to start putting air mattresses and cots. I mean, back in the day that was fine, but we all agree. So, you know, we kind of took a vote and, you know, we posed it as, hey, listen, if whoever's in the king beds are willing to sleep in the same bed with, you know, with their friend or their brother in one of the situations, then I'm cool with it. You know, if everybody's cool with that, we'll do it. And both of the people, one's his brother and the other one's a close friend, he's like, I'm not sleeping with another guy. I'm like, okay, that's a whole nother conversation, but good friend you are, right? You know, you want him to come along, but you know, it's not like he can't sleep because he's snoring. There's just the whole thought of two guys sleeping in the same bed, which is definitely a conversation for another time. But you know, everybody's got their own stuff. Yeah.
And how did you introduce the fact over the course of the years that you were going to go by the name Waska instead of Perry? Did you have to make some kind of big announcement, or did this they organically find out, or?
Yeah, more organically, and especially doing like a show like this where I never wanted to be on camera. So we're doing this for the radio show as well as for Zoom. So being on camera, I, you know, as a professional cameraman, I love being behind the scenes. I don't like, you know, having my, so it took like, okay, dude, get the ego, you know, out of the way, you know, so my hair, my this, my that, you know, just chill out, dude. It's all good, you know? So it's the same with the name. Just like as you said, it was organic. I started like feeling more empowered as Waska and bringing it in. So with the show, you know, in the title, I'll put Waska, AKA Perry Finkelstein, but I do introduce myself as Waska. And if somebody wants to know what it means, I'm really happy about that. I will tell them. And if they're not comfortable and they'd rather call me Perry, hey, fine. That's all good too, you know, but, I leave it to the other person at this point. I'm totally comfortable with introducing myself as Waska, and it just slowly kind of emerged that way. You know, and you know, again, on social media, it's Perry Waska Finkelstein. Some people will reply Perry, other people will reply Waska. Some people are confused. And that's part of my medicine also that I share with the people. So it's at this point, I'm like, it's really not a big deal, people. No, you know, whatever.
If you're opening up, like if you had to open up a new Amazon account or something like that, do you put Perry Waska Finkelstein?
I just put Waska Finkelstein, but that's not my legal name, so I can't use it on anything. So legally, I just, a lot of times it's just like Perry W. My middle initial happens to be W anyway. It's Wayne, but you know, so a lot of times I'll put W, and people who know me as Waska be like, oh, okay, Perry Waska Finkelstein. So yeah, there's energy in it. But also I find that because I'm comfortable with it now, it doesn't matter to me what anybody else thinks. It's a name, you know.
Did you lose any friends over it?
No. Well, if I lost any friends over it, they wouldn't have been friends, right? So
Yeah.
So that's a good question. Thanks for asking that. So yeah, this has been a great conversation, but we have time for like just, you know, wrapping it up. So what is true to your heart that you want to share with the audience about friendship, a takeaway, wrapping it all together? And
yeah, thanks, Waska. I'm going to go back to a little bit of what we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, and that is, and we've proven this now throughout the last hour that we spent together, is that treasure, I didn't say this at the beginning, but I'm going to wrap up with it now. Treasure these relationships that you have, because you get to choose to have them. Again, family is a whole other thing. We get to choose who we want in these baskets, or a basket. We get to choose. How much of a freaking blessing is that from the universe? And we've got I think there's about 8 billion people on the planet now. We have 8 billion opportunities to have anyone or not anyone into those baskets. But the work for your own personal spiritual evolution, I'll talk for myself, for my own spiritual evolution, is to make sure that I spend time with my inner self discerning what's important to me, because I can't possibly be friends to 8 billion people. I can possibly be a really damn good friend to 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 50 people, whatever. I get to discern that. So I learned not to kind of be willy-nilly and just say, friend, okay, you could be my friend, you could be my friend, you could be my friend, you could be my friend. Oh my God, then there's 100 people in my basket. And I'm not being mindful of my relationship with those particular people that I choose to call friends. Mm-hmm. And I started to say to myself, I don't think I'm going to call that person my friend. It's an acquaintance, someone that I know, someone I'm a business associate, but we're not really friends. And I'm comfortable with that. So just to believe or understand what a great gift and treasure it is that we get to have free will and choice around deciding who we spend time with when it comes to friendships. How's that for a wrap?
I love it. I love it. That's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. I totally align with that. Yeah.
And what did you glean from this conversation around friendships? Did you learn anything new and exciting?
Yeah. Being present to our conversation. What my takeaway is, to be the best friend that I can be is to really stay in the present moment as much as possible, not flashback to previous feelings of hurt or disappointment or anger or any of that, and just start from this moment forward and assume the best. And that's the best way that I can be a good friend to somebody, is just assuming the best, being present, and giving, you know, my full attention to whatever is right before me with the friend that's in front of me, and moving forward from there. Yeah.
And something you said that was so powerful that stuck in my brain every time we talk, you mention it, is that communication with compassion. As soon as we throw that compassion piece, and I guess that would apply to family relationships too.
Absolutely.
But as soon as we apply that compassion piece I think we up our ante great big huge in the spiritual evolutionary way, right?
Absolutely.
Very, very key. Awesome. I'm going to have more compassion for my friends today. I'm going to see some of my friends today. So I'm going to take those words of wisdom and those jewels with me, Waska. This has been really, really fun. Really,
awesome.
Really
great. Compassion and empathy goes a long way. Yes, my friend.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Well, let's continue to illuminate our friendships with loving kindness.
Visit illuminatedwarrior.com if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about what's available within the Illuminated Warrior Men's Transformational Community. Tune in next time for more candid conversations for men and women about men on the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Until next time, illuminate your path with loving kindness.